In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today on this Wednesday. You know what that means? Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Some awesome readings to explore today as we break open God's Word that feeds our minds and our hearts and prepares us to receive Jesus more deeply, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. Word of God Wednesday, breaking open God's Word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love for you to join us. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And so now we're entering a new month. You know, again, I mentioned yesterday we're halfway through the year already. So again, hopefully you'll take some time to reflect on what this year has meant to you and maybe what you still want to try to accomplish by the end of this year. There's still time. But, you know, one thing, don't put it off. You know, and I've said this before, but this has just been on my heart. If you have someone that you need to reconcile with, do it now. Don't wait until I'll have to wait till this person says they're sorry, or I'm going to wait until this time. And there is you don't know how much time you have, and you never want to live life with regrets. You never want to live life that says I wish I would have, could have, should have. You know, if you need to say something to someone, you know, if you need to seek forgiveness or reconciliation, if you just want to tell the person that you love that you love them, well, I know they love me already. I don't need to say it. Well, yeah, sometimes it's important to say the words. You know, sometimes it's important to hear the words. You know, sometimes it's important for you to hear your own self saying the words. You know, that's really important. So, I just, again, as we're moving, as time seems to be moving so quickly, you know, again, I can't believe we're halfway through the year already. You know, just seriously think about taking some time to be a bridge, a vehicle of mercy, healing, reconciliation, peace in the lives of others. Just something to think about as we begin to break open God's Word for this Word of God Wednesday, the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And please say a prayer for me and my daughter as I go home. You know, as many of you know, I'm from Barbados, and I'm getting a chance to go home and visit family. Most of my family are still there. And so I'm going to be having opportunity to go and visit my family, and I'm bringing one of my daughters, who is very interested in family history. So she's going to be coming with me. She's so excited to meet members on my side of the family who most of my family, my current family, never met before. So she's going to be doing some interviews and we're going to be exploring the island and all that stuff. So please pray for us for that trip. It's going to be, and we're going to go to the church where I was baptized. Remember, I'm the first baptized Catholic in the history of our family. So we're going to go to the church where I was baptized, and hopefully we can head to attend Mass there. And yeah, it's just going to be an awesome, beautiful experience, what I'm very, very much looking forward to. Please keep us in your prayers as we travel together to my home country of Barbados. As you know, as we're moving through this year, you know, one thing I've been thinking about is relationships. You know, relationships with my wife. You know, I don't know why I didn't do this when I was younger, but now that I'm getting older, you know, kind of using meaningful moments of time, like this halfway point through the year, to take a look at the marriage. You know, kind of, you know, I mean, we talk about things all the time, but I mean, for me, just to take some time in adoration, just to reflect on, Am I being the husband and the father, the husband that my wife needs to be, the father that my children need me to be, the deacon that the church needs me to be? And so I spend some time reflecting on all of that. So in addition to the goals and things like that, but I start, just take some time to think about those things as well. Because I, again, as I get older and I think about, the end is closer than the beginning, I'm gonna have to give an account before God for my life. And I want to make sure I just really take that time to really reflect, am I doing everything possible to be an effective witness for God? As we talk about this all the time, that I'm going to be the instrument, a finely tuned instrument in God's hands. What can I do to be a better instrument? What kinds of things do I need to continue working on in my own personal life, in my spiritual life, in my, academic life? What kinds of things can I do to continue to strengthen my mind and my heart, as we continue this journey toward heaven? So that's why, that's the kind of things that's been on my heart. I just wanted to share that with you because we're all part of the EWTN family here. And also part of the family are the great people that bring you this show each and every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls, Michael McCall, and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media. And of course, our producer. I talked about reflecting on where I am in my life, and that includes my relation with Ace, our producer here on Beacon of Truth, Ace McKay. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm a little jealous. I know I had my daddy-daughter trip earlier this year, and now you're getting yours. But it's literally one of my favorite things to do as a dad is just to get that one-on-one. Doesn't matter what we're doing. It could be as ridiculous as, getting a slushie at 7-Eleven or going on a trip with some kind of historical significance. But there is something about that connection that is so. It brings me so much joy. When my daughter and I went to Traverse City for like 4 days, like it didn't matter what we did. And looking back on it, like we didn't stop talking unless we were sleeping or taking a bite of something. Like it was just a constant conversation that was very therapeutic, I think, in a lot of ways, but lots of laughs, a little bit of tears maybe. It's one of my favorite things. So I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, and I love all my kids, right? All the kids are different.
Sure.
I have different relationships with each of them, but Angela is more like me
Yeah.
than the other. I mean, and I think that's because we had a very powerful bonding experience. Like when she was about 10 days old, my brother-in-law died, and so Colleen's brother co completely unexpectedly, suddenly. And I remember that day very clearly. I was actually studying. I was in graduate school at the time, and I was studying for a final exam. Or no, wait, that would have been. Yeah, well, I think a midterm exam, and I had I was holding Angela, 10 days old, and Colleen was out taking Claire to the park, and that call came in from the hospital. And they couldn't. Now I've been a cop. I was still a cop. Now I was a cop long enough to know when you get a call like that somebody died. They
Yeah.
wouldn't give me the details because I was not. I mean, I'm the husband, but I'm not, a direct relative. So I threw Angela in the car, drove to the park, found Colleen and Claire, and said the hospital called. Something's going on. You need to come home right now. And then she made the call. She started crying and, told me that her brother was dead, and I mean, so she was so wrapped up in that that I had that special time with Angela, and so and she's the one kid, like, she'll just call me for no reason. She doesn't need anything. She'll just call me out of the blue just to check and see how I'm doing, and she, like, when she comes home, she goes, can Daddy pick me up from the airport, that kind of thing. So we have a special bond. So I'm and she's the one that wanted to do this trip.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited to share this with her.
Yeah, Lennon did that not too long ago. She Because her husband, his family lives in Kalamazoo and they're in Grand Rapids, They make trips to go see them a lot, and sometimes he's already in Kalamazoo working, so she just meets up with him. So she just called one Saturday. She's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. She's like, I got to drive to Kalamazoo. You want to keep me company? I'm like, duh. So I went and got another cup of coffee, and we talked for like 40 minutes. It was just, it's the greatest. Because when your kids don't need something but your time, ugh. I was like, I got it. I will give you all that I possibly can.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, that's why we shouldn't be spending time, you know, being separated from people. And, you know, we need to be that bridge and that vehicle of reconciliation.
Amen.
Because you never know, right? So we can't keep taking life for granted.
That's right.
All right. Word of God Wednesday. Break open God's word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
It's going.
I love that. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's definitely
East Coast, baby.
Those patches. Yep, yep. Like the jungle. That, yeah, that reminds me of that.
Absolutely.
That keyboard patch reminds me of that.
I'm always
jungle.
Going under.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's awesome. And you said the bass, but and then that this little pop.
Yep.
That's cool.
And what's funny, that's too, nice. Is that I love in a day and age of stereo where, like, a sound effect like that at the beginning, like, goes left to right, and you're like...
Oh, we have pans of speakers. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the greatest.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that with Queen, too. Like they mm-hmm. would pan the vocals between the speakers, stuff like that. That's a very, very cool effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And it's Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We'll break open God's Word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I would love for you to join us today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, you got your phone in your hand. Easy to do. Just pop open the browser and go to ewtn.com/St. Stephen. You want to learn more about martyrs that of the faith when it comes to the men and women who have walked the life and have definitely offered their lives for Christ. This is an opportunity for you to learn more about them. So again, check it out, ewtn.com/St. Stephen, and learn more about the martyrs from EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends. Word of God Wednesday, break open God's word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And of course, would love for you to be with us. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. Well, our first reading for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time is from the prophet Zechariah. And it says, thus says the Lord, rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. So remember, Zion and Jerusalem are the same place, right? So Jerusalem is the earthly name for the city of God, the city of David, you know, Jerusalem, which Melchizedek was the king of righteousness, who was the king of Salem, the king of peace, right, which would eventually become Jerusalem. And the heavenly name or the divine name of Jerusalem is Zion, right? And so... and actually, you know, it's very interesting. You see a lot, and we see this in movies sometimes too, like in The Matrix. You know, there was a place of refuge called Zion, you know, and so there's definitely some biblical things going on there. Star Wars, also biblical kinds of themes going on there, and a number of other movies as well that kind of incorporate kind of, you know, biblical kind, not directly, but kind of has the feel, some of the names and the language seems very biblical. Also in Dune is another one that uses this same kind of language or kind of theme. So rejoice heartily, O daughter Jerusalem. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. And again, this is reminiscent of Psalm 87 that talks about, that's one of the Psalms of the sons of Korah, that talks about Jerusalem being a daughter or a bride, right? Because remember, God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, And the church is the bride, right? The daughter, the bride. And so Jerusalem is the city that represents that reality on earth. It says, "See, your king shall come to you. A just savior is he." So this is one of the prophetic revelations of Zechariah, pointing toward Jesus as the Messiah. So, like, daughter Zion, daughter of Jerusalem, get ready, because the Savior is going to be revealed to you, to this the city of David. Your king shall come to you, riding on a, well, I don't know if I can say this on the air, riding a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Again, this is a reminder of Jesus entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He rode on a donkey. They threw the palm branches in front of him, as he made his entry, kind of as the king, if you will, into the city of Jerusalem. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim, which is one of the 12 tribes, and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished. He shall proclaim peace to the nations. So again, it's Zechariah saying, and again, the people didn't pick this up. He's not going to be a Messiah that's going to bring revolutionary war to overthrow the forces of Rome to restore Jerusalem back to its former prominence. Again, that's what they thought the Savior is going to come and do. But no, Jesus says here he came to bring peace to the nations. And he does that in the city of peace, in the city of Jerusalem. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. So his dominion will not just be Jerusalem, will not just be Israel, but will be the four corners of the earth. All right, so definitely a beautiful revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we start off on the readings that we'll hear this Sunday. And that we're breaking open for you on this Word of God Wednesday. Looking forward to the readings for this Sunday. So, the first reading, talking about the coming of Christ. Again, we need to prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives to also receive Christ, right? And we do this on a weekly or at least a monthly basis by going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. If we've made a mistake and we've sinned against God, Jesus gave us that beautiful Sacrament of Reconciliation to restore us to life, so that we can prepare our hearts to be open to receiving Jesus coming into our lives and coming into our hearts and bringing us the peace that we're so longing for, that we're so yearning for, so that's a beautiful witness there. Then the psalm is Psalm 145, which is called the Deutero Hallel Psalm. So Psalms 113 to 118 are Hallel Psalms or praise psalms. Those are psalms that were sung during the Passover meal. And then you had the Hallel HaGadol psalms, that's 118, and then 135 and 136. And then you had the Deutero Hallel psalms, which are the second praise psalms 145 to 150. So the psalm for the readings for Sunday is Psalm 145, and where the refrain is, "I will praise your name forever, my King and my God." And I love this one. "I will extol you, O God, my God and King, and will bless your name forever and ever." Again, how do we bless the name of God? How do we, as mere human beings, give a blessing to God? We're supposed to be receiving blessings from Him. Ah, remember, when we live in accord with God's will, when we truly strive to become the person who God created us to be, when we're using our talents that were given to us by God to the very best of our ability for the honor and glory of God, then we become a blessing to God. You see, so that covenant relationship, the exchange of love, life, intimacy, communion is a two-way street. God blesses us, and our response to God's blessing is to be also a blessing to Him. Right, to be his faithful witnesses to the world. And so that's what this psalm is getting at here. So Zechariah is talking about Christ coming to us, and the psalm is talking about how God is a blessing to us, but how we can also be a blessing to God. And it goes on to say, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great and full of great kindness. The Lord is good to all, compassionate to all his works. So the Lord is our Lord is a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of healing, and a God of peace. And the psalm goes on to say how God is faithful in all his words and holy in all his deeds. The Lord lifts up all who are fallen and raises up all who are bowed down. So sometimes we have to humble ourselves before the Lord so that he can raise us up. You know, sometimes, you know, we have to humble ourselves so that God can exalt us, right, for his glory. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. He says, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the spirit. So again, flesh, and the word he uses there in Greek is sarx. Sarx has two meanings, the way Jesus uses it in John chapter 6, which means flesh on the bone. And Paul is using it in a secondary meaning, which is earthly things. So you are not of the flesh. You are not of the world. You are not of earthly things. You are of the spirit. So your life should not be focused on material things, on the things of the world, on getting more money, more prestige, more success in the eyes of the world. No, you are in the spirit. So it doesn't mean that we're not in our physical bodies. Duh. Obviously, we are literally in the flesh. We have flesh, but that's not what he's talking about here. That our mindset and our heart set cannot be of the world. It has to be of God. So we're not focusing and thinking of the world. Our lives should be focused on God. He goes, on the contrary, you're in the spirit. If only the spirit of God dwells in you. Again, through the sacrament of reconciliation, through the reception of God's incredible divine mercy, we empty ourselves of sin. So that makes more room in our hearts and our souls for God, right? We empty ourselves of those things that separate us from God to make more room for his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That's what St. Paul is talking about. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, right? So again, so many people need to hear the message of salvation given to us through the scriptures, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we need to be the ones that bring that message to others. You know, if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give your mortal life body, give life to your mortal bodies also. All right. So again, I think again, one of the things that St. Paul is talking about here that we can glean from his words is a frequent use of the sacrament of reconciliation that restores God's spirit within us, that empties us of the fleshiness of the world. We are not debtors in the flesh, but live according to the spirit. If we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Right? So focusing on the things of the flesh lead to death. Focusing on the things of the spirit leads to life and peace. Very important message for us today. As we continue to reflect on these readings, and make the connection between how Christ is speaking to us and then how we speak to Christ in response to his invitation to love and life and intimacy and communion. Because we can only be effective evangelizers if we ourselves, as St. Paul says in Romans, if we are living in the spirit of Christ, then that allows us to be vehicles of Christ's spirit to others. But we have to start with ourselves. You know, not self-centeredness, not focusing on ourselves, but allowing God's word to penetrate our hearts so that we can be his faithful witnesses of his love and his mercy in the lives of others that so need that witness in our world today. Breaking open God's word on this Word of God Wednesday. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Is that a bendable note?
Yeah, that's a slide.
Yeah.
A slide printer. Yeah. That's cool.
I like how the bass is leading right there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's cool. kind of rocky, kind of funky at the same time.
Yep.
Kind of blending the genres there.
Just like this show, rocky and funky.
Yeah. See now the guitar is kind of like playing along the bass line.
Yeah.
Kind of picking up the theme there. But now it's going off in its own little direction. Yeah, that's cool. I like the tone.
Yeah.
A little bit of a chorus, a little bit of a flange on him, maybe. Very nice.
And then back in the pocket.
Yep.
It's kind of cool, too, like with pedals. Like, I always tell this with my son as he's learning guitar. I was like, practice the riff, but then try it through various pedals, and it's amazing what you get out of it that you didn't hear before. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love the effects. I got a new snapshot of my pedal board. I changed out the overdrive pedal. You know, I wasn't liking the tone I was getting from the pedal that I had before, and so I switched it out for actually for a EVH pedal.
All right. Yeah.
I was able to trade the other one I had in because I hardly used it. I just didn't like the tone I was getting in. I very much like the EVH pedal. I'm like, yes. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like Eddie Van Halen, but I just like the tone that pedal gets. And, you know, and I'm not trying to get the brown sound or any of that stuff. Like, I'm not trying to sound like Eddie, but I just love the. I mean, my son was commenting. He goes, yeah, I like this one better. You know, I like the tone on this one better. Yeah, he did a great job with that pedal.
Eddie was as much of an engineer than he was just a player. Like, he knew what he wanted the guitar to do. He just made it do it. And now, you know, with amps and pedals and, you know, guitars, it's like, okay, here you go. This is my legacy.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a wonderful lesson for us. You know, to find the thing that we're passionate about and really put all of ourselves into that.
Yep.
You know, of course, keeping the right priorities, right? God, and if you're married, you know, your spouse and family, and then everything else after that. But you know, God has given us the ability to exercise multiple gifts.
Yep.
And so, you know, again, keeping that right balance of perspective, God, family, and then using those gifts. You know, if we maintain that proper order, I think everything will. You know, I think God will even amplify those gifts even more.
Yeah.
Because we're maintaining the right priority when it comes to how we use those gifts for the benefit not only of ourselves and our family, but for the world.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sivers listening to Beacon of Truth. And today is Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're breaking open God's Word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, we already looked at the first reading from Zechariah. We looked at Psalm 145. We looked at the second reading from Romans. And now we're going to be diving into the gospel. Grab your Bibles and join us, my friends. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, of course, as we spend our time each and every day together, other opportunities through other shows is with Johnette Williams and Women of Grace. You might have missed today with Wacky Wednesday, which is always great, in talking about the supernatural and things we should avoid, things we should pray for, all the good stuff. But catch her tomorrow morning, 11 Eastern, right here on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends. Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles, break open God's Word for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as we begin a new month, you know, as well. And so send us an email today, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com. All right. So I want to share some reflections, but let's look at the gospel first, and then I'll go back and share some reflections on the other readings as well. So our gospel today, of course, is year A. So we're focusing on Matthew this year. This is from Matthew chapter 11. It says, at that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. All right? So, again, I love that. So, Jesus came to bring the message of salvation, you know, and he came to bring them to the people, to people, all the people, the scribes, the Pharisees, everyone, to the farmer, to every single person. But he's revealing it in a way that was not anticipated by the leaders of Israel at that time, you know, because you reveal them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, of course, because he's the Word of God, and that became flesh. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. You know, and this is why the Last Supper, right? When Philip asks, just show us the Father, that will be enough. And Jesus says, Philip, have I been with you guys all this time? You don't realize that when you see me, you see the Father, right? So Jesus is talking about here, and again, this makes sense when Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. So again, Jesus was stating, not overtly here, but the church uses the language now to show that Jesus is shares the same divine nature with the, he's not the Father, but he shares the same divine nature with the Father. That's how he can say, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, because he's the Word that comes from the Father. But then he adds, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him, which is what? All of them, all of the apostles, right? And the apostles go out and they make the Son known to everyone else around the world, and all of us in our own way, called to be evangelizing witnesses of his love to the world. And then Jesus says, come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Right? Labor and burden, not just from your work, you know, not just being tired from a long day's work, but burdened by life. Maybe taking care of a sick child or an elderly parent, or a rift between you and your children who are not practicing the faith. You know, whatever may be going on in your life, Jesus comes to bring you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Right? So Jesus tells us how we're supposed to be living, meek and humble of heart. Again, it's not a personality trait. It's more of a spiritual trait, the way we live our lives spiritually, in meekness and humility, right? Meekness not meaning, so I think when he means meek here, he's not talking about having an ego, right? So it's not like, it's not putting yourself on the forefront. It's more like Saint Joseph, right? Living in the background, you know, not always trying to be the center of attention. You know, and we should, because what we should be doing is making Jesus the center of our lives, the center of attention, right? He should be the one that we're focusing our lives on, and helping others to focus on him as well. And then humble of heart. Humility, as we said before, doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less is true humility. So those are the spiritual traits which we use to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And if you do this, if we're meek and humble of heart, you will find rest for yourselves. You will find peace. And he ends by saying, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? Famous line from Jesus there. So what he means by yoke. So again, remember we talked about this the other day, that this was an agrarian society, right? And so they were mostly farmers, and they worked the land. And so you had a yoke of oxen. So the oxen would have the, you know, that big wooden yoke that would bind the two animals together, so that they would work together. So like if the farmer pulled left, both animals would move to the left. If they pulled right, both animals would pull to the right. And so the yoke allowed them, by being yoked together, they were did the work together for the farmer, right? And he was able to get the be highly productive. Well, Jesus says, my yoke is, we're supposed to yoke ourselves to Christ. So wherever Christ goes, that's where we go. Whatever Christ teaches, that's what we teach. Whatever, however Christ lives his life, that's how we are to live our lives as well. See, so he said, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, that almost seems contradictory. Because think about the yoke. Think about the martyrs of the early church, how they yoked themselves to Christ and it cost them their life. How is that easy? How is that light? You know, but I think Jesus is saying, if we're trying to be yoked without him, it's already going to be hard. But if we yoke ourselves to Christ, it's not going to take away the hardship and the burden, but it'll be easier for us to manage. It will be easy for us to carry that burden because we're choosing to unite ourselves and our burdens and our sufferings with Christ. Right? So I think that's what's going on there. So some reflections on the readings in general. So there's a heresy in the church called dualism. So basically, dualism is the view that reality holds two different and separate types of being that are fundamentally opposed to each other. For example, you have the God and the world, faith, so God and the world, right? So you have God and the world as a dualistic pair. God and world, faith and science, physical and spiritual. So this heresy says that these two things are opposed to each other. They're fundamentally opposed to each other. So God is opposed to the world, faith is opposed to science, physical is against the spiritual. So this last one, the physical versus the spiritual, stems from a misunderstanding of what St. Paul is talking about today in his letter to the Romans. He said, "You are not of the flesh, but of the spirit." So some early Christians in reading Paul thought that St. Paul was separating the physical from the spiritual. The body was evil and the spirit was good. So that's the way some people were interpreting Paul, that Paul was making a dualistic contrast between separating the body from the spirit. But as we all know, the body and the soul are one, and they are integrated and woven together like a beautiful garment, like a beautiful tapestry, where the physical, right, what we do with our bodies by our deeds and our actions, right, how we live our lives in our bodies, express the spiritual, what's going on inside, where we are with our life with God, right? So how we live, how we act, how we speak, how we represent ourselves to others on the outside is a reflection of what's going on spiritual. So it's not a dualism, it's not a separation, it's an integration, is what St. Paul is talking about here. He goes, you are not of the flesh, you have the spirit. Again, he's talking about you are not of the world, you're not worldly thinking, you're putting on the mind of Christ. You're thinking like Christ, you're thinking like a Christian, you're thinking like a follower of Jesus. So that's what he's talking about there. Not separating your physical body from your physical from the spiritual soul. No. He's talking about how we can integrate them more deeply into our lives. So St. Paul was talking about, again, the word sarx, fleshy existence, centered on the self, that's not focused on God. So St. Paul is implying that because of our sinful nature, we will automatically not follow the call of the Holy Spirit to choose that which is true and good and beautiful. And this is why St. James teaches that faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. He goes on, but someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and by my works I will show you my faith. But as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead." So we see that Paul and James are not contradicting each other, as some people think that they are, because the Bible is can't contradict itself, right? And so again, James here is giving a kind of a riff on the teachings of St. Paul, right? So why is this important? We are in the midst of a culture, in the midst of a world that thrives on separating the body from the spirit. And when we do that, The results are disastrous. We think of human trafficking, for example, where you look at the person as an object, and we, because we separate them. Well, no, there is no God, there is no spiritual, there is no supernatural, and so we just see this person as an object, as a thing, as something I can use and discard when I'm finished with it. Kind of like a, you eat a piece of candy, you throw the wrapper away, don't even think about it. If we separate the body and the soul, we have this dualistic way of thinking. This is what can happen in the realm of respecting the dignity of every single human being made in the image and likeness of God. So, for example, about 1.2 million children worldwide, including about a quarter of a million in the United States, are trafficked every year. Many cities, major cities, in the United States are hubs for human child trafficking. And about every 2 minutes, a child's being prepared for sexual exploitation. And the average age of these children about 14 years old, right? And so they have spotters that prey on, what are they preying on? The desires and dissatisfaction of teenagers in order to manipulate them, right? So the desire to be beautiful, to indulge in the selfie culture, to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, to be free from parents, and or simply to have somebody love them. So they recognize these little points of entry into a person's life where there's like a little bit of a vulnerability there, and they're and what they do, these traffickers, they exploit the vulnerability. Oh, this person desires to be beautiful. Well, let me show you how beautiful you can be. The selfie culture, the self-indulgent culture. I want to be in a relationship. I want to be free from my parents who tell me what to do all the time. I just want somebody to love me. These traffickers and the people that work with them, they exploit these vulnerabilities, these points of weaknesses. They find these points of entry, and that's how these young people get tricked into feeling safe. And of course, they become end up being used as objects, as things for pleasure and gratification. And often this leads to emotional and physical abuse, drugs and alcohol. And this is very, very big business we're talking about $32 billion in the trafficking industry. $32 billion. This is what happens when you separate body and soul, right? So Jesus says, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, but revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. So Jesus calls his disciples and followers to trust him with the simplicity of children, right? Why? Think about a child. If you say, come here, honey, come here, or get out of the street, or hold my hand, they'll just do it. They'll just do it. Because why? They trust you. They feel safe with you, right? And so they listen to you. But when they get older, teenagers, they start thinking for themselves, and they have the natural separation that happens between teenagers and parents as the teenagers begin to build their own identity apart from their parents' identity. That's when we start to see a little bit of tension here. So Jesus is saying here, trust me with the simplicity of children, right? Just hold my hand when I tell you to hold my hand. Just trust me because I'm the one who's going to bring you life and peace. So Jesus calls the disciples to yoke themselves to him, as we talked about before. He's inviting them to learn from him as a model of perfect obedience to the Father. Right? So Jesus is the model. And so he goes, I'm modeling this for you so you can yoke yourselves to me. So Jesus is speaking powerfully to us today through the through these beautiful readings, especially of course in the gospel. So we peer into the darkness of our morally depraved culture, the persecution of Christians around the world, wars around the world, racial unrest. We look at the trafficking thing that we just talked about. And you're asking yourself, does any of this make any sense? Like why? Well, Jesus answers this question. In fact, he sums up the entire Christian message in one sentence when he proclaims that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not to condemn the world, but that the world might believe and have eternal life. So the only thing that makes sense in this world is the total, perfect, complete, unconditional love of God, through which he gives us his son Jesus, who's the light of the world, and whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, for those who actually live the truth of the faith, who integrate the soul and the body, right? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All that remains then is our free will choice to accept God's love so that it can be proven fruitful in our life. Or we can cower in the darkness to avoid the light of God's love. It's our choice. You know, God is inviting us into this relationship of love and communion intimacy, and we have a choice. We can say no, and we cannot be yoked to Christ. We can be yoked to the world that will pull us in every kind of direction. And when we're directionless, what happens? We get lost. We get without knowing what direction we're going in, we get lost. And so many people are trying to find the course and the direction they're supposed to go in apart from God, apart from a deep relationship with Christ. And so what we have to do is to help people to put on the yoke of Christ, not force them to, but to see how when you are yoked to Christ, how awesome life can be. That doesn't mean that life is going to get any easier, but that that we can get through whatever life is throwing at us, whatever challenges that life is giving us. When we're yoked to Christ, that makes that journey through life a lot easier. So, and going back to the first reading, Zechariah predicted Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, where he foretold, "Your king shall come to you riding on a donkey." So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, people saw Jesus but didn't really see him. Right? They knew Jesus, but they really didn't know him, right? Deeply, personally, and intimately. They saw an image of someone who would fulfill some expectation or desire that they had, but they didn't take the time to see and appreciate that those who have pure, Jesus says, those who have pure heart will see God. Right? So Jesus came to purify the people's hearts so they can truly see and experience the life-giving love of Almighty God. Right? So again, Jesus defies our expectations. You know, if we think we know what we're doing apart from God, then we're going to get lost. Then we're going to get frustrated because we're not going to be able to accomplish the things that we want to because we're trying to do them apart from God. Now, sometimes you say, well, wait a minute, this person or, you know, person over here, or person XYZ, you know, they seem to be doing well. I mean, they're financially very stable. They're very wealthy. They're very prestigious. Whoa, hold on. Remember the words of Jesus. He says, for the people like that, you have already received your reward. So the acknowledgments, the praise, the laudatory gestures, all the things they receive from the culture, the money, the fame, the popularity, the success, you've already received your reward. But we're looking for something deeper, greater, that's beyond anything this world has to offer. The reward of eternal life with God forever in heaven. That's the reward of the meek. That's the reward of the humble. That's how we truly find rest. That's how we fulfill the longest, deepening desires of our hearts. When we receive Christ, we put on the yoke of Christ and his church, right? Because when we yoke ourselves to the church, and the church is teaching in faith and morals, we are yoking ourselves to Christ, right? And so he will lead us to the kingdom of heaven, not a kingdom of fear, not a kingdom of anxiety, but a kingdom of joy, a kingdom of peace. We will bless our King and our God day after day, and where we will praise his name forever with all the saints in heaven. That is the goal. All right, my friends. Well, tomorrow we pick up our theme. We continue our series, Jesus and the 12 on Tour. Next tour stop, Jericho. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.